Yeah, hello Mike. You will talk to us to the news about LibreOffice. Welcome and go on.
Thank you. Yes, hello everybody. Good morning, evening, afternoon, wherever you are in the world as well. I'm Mike Saunders from the Document Foundation, from the small nonprofit behind LibreOffice. And today I'm not going to go into a big history about LibreOffice. You all know what LibreOffice is, you know where it came from. So I'm not going to spend ages talking about that. But instead, I want to give an update on what we're doing in the Document Foundation, some of the challenges we face, some of the marketing challenges we faced, what the pandemic has done to us as well, what's new in LibreOffice 7.2 that we released just a few days ago, so that's brand new, and how people can get involved as well. If my voice sounds odd, I have some kind of cold, hopefully not some Delta or Lambda variant. I am fully vaccinated, so you never know. But so if I have to stop for a moment to drink some water, then forgive me. But let's get started. So LibreOffice, for us, it's all about community. This is the last in-person meeting that we had in the LibreOffice community. Nearly two years ago now, in Almeria in Spain, from the LibreOffice conference. It was a fantastic event. People from all around the world came together, talk, share ideas, have fun, have a few drinks, have a few beers. So we hope to be able to meet again soon, but more on that later. But yeah, you all know what LibreOffice is. You know that it's the open source software, free and open source software office suite used in practically every desktop Linux distribution, and installed, used by millions around the world. We estimate up to 200 million users around the world based on many different factors. So quite a significant user base now as well, and growing a lot. But behind it is the Document Foundation, this small nonprofit for which I work. So the German speakers amongst you know this is a Stiftung. So this nonprofit foundation based in Berlin, but we are scattered around lots of different places. I am in Munich. And the Document Foundation, we are not a software house. We are not just a bunch of geeks and developers, although we are all kind of geeky, I'm sure. But we are here to take care of the LibreOffice project, to help promote its development, make sure it's available for people as well. We are like the home of it. And it's also worth noting that the Document Foundation doesn't have a product name in it. We are not the LibreOffice Foundation, but the Document Foundation. And there's a reason for this. LibreOffice is one of our projects, but we have something called Document Liberation, which are a set of libraries that can be used to open different file formats as well, like ancient Apple formats or proprietary Apple Pages formats, for instance. And these libraries can be used in other software like Caligra or Inkscape to import many, many different file formats. So we don't have LibreOffice in the name. Some of you in the free software community will remember a few years ago that the Thunderbird email clients, their team, were looking for a new home. And we talked to them, the Document Foundation talked to them about being the new home for Thunderbird. In the end, that didn't happen, fine. But it shows that we are not just about LibreOffice. Who knows what will happen in the future? So what do we do at the Document Foundation? We support the development of the software and the community as well. This is super important for us. Having 200 million users of LibreOffice is great, but if nobody's contributing, then it's just a piece of software on the internet. You can have millions and millions of users, but a lot of cases, if nobody's doing anything, then it just stagnates. So we want to always focus that LibreOffice is a community and a project, events, knowledge sharing, mentoring. You can learn new skills as well by taking part in it as well. Super important, we are independent from a single sponsor. So those of you who know the history of Free Office Suites and OpenOffice.org back then and Sun Microsystems and Oracle and all the complications, in LibreOffice, in the Document Foundation, we are independent. We can do what we want. We have companies in an advisory board and we work together with partners, but we are fully independent. We try to lower the entry barriers to LibreOffice as well. So many of you know 7 million lines of source code, C++ source code, bits of Java and XML in there. not an easy thing to get started with. A code base that goes back a long time has been hugely modernized in the last five or so years. The build system's been simplified. Many things from the OpenOffice.org days have been cleaned up, but it's still not the easiest thing to get into. So we have easy hacks, short programming tasks, hackfest workshops as well. And we work together with other free and open source software projects and communities and entities as well. So OASIS, the standards organization, KDE, Free Software Foundation Europe, and so forth. Here I am modeling something, but this is some merchandise that we send out to contributors as well. Again, we're a small nonprofit organization. We can't give people Ferrari rides for contributing, at least not now, but we like to show our appreciation to everybody who contributes, even somebody who just translates one string of the user interface into another language. We try to get all this information together and thank everybody for taking part as well. Bitin in the chat, I feel like I'm on Twitch, Bitin says got some stickers for contributing to Swedish. So thanks, Bitin. Yeah, this is exactly what we mean as well. Stickers, yeah, it's not the fanciest thing in the world, but it's thanks from us for contributing. Put the stickers on your laptop or your bike or whatever. It helped to spread the word. Here's a bit of a complicated chart that I'm not going to explain in detail, but this is the structure of the Document Foundation, a board of directors, members, membership committee, advisory board with different companies. Basically, there are lots of different parts to the Document Foundation: separation of powers, sharing knowledge, making sure everybody has a say. Anybody who contributes to LibreOffice over a period of time can become a member of the Document Foundation and help to steer the development of the project and the community and the software as well. So anyone, again, you don't have to be a programmer, you can be a translator or write documentation, but you can join the members as a member of TDF, and then you can vote for the board of directors. You can do a lot of things in the community to help steer it. That's what matters. We at the Document Foundation, we don't tell people what to do. We are a very small entity, sort of in the middle, but we don't go around saying, oh, LibreOffice needs this, or you should do that, or that's generally not our job. We are here to make sure things run, but it's the members who can vote for the board of directors, who can make decisions about what are we going to do, who's doing what, and so forth. But it's a volunteer project, so doers decide, as we say. So the team, this is the team at the Document Foundation. We're actually 12 people now. This image is a little bit older, but we're not big. People think we are like, say, the Mozilla Corporation or something, but we are 12 people actually in the team at TDF, actually working on a daily basis for the Document Foundation. So we're pretty small, which is fine. You know, it's not our goal to just grow and grow and grow. We are not a software house. We are not there to sit every day hacking in Vim or Emacs or Nano, whatever you prefer, and write LibreOffice code. We're all geeks to some extent. We all know our way around. But what we do is make sure that the LibreOffice project and community can continue, that the activities can continue. So if you take Cloth here, Christian Lohmeyer, our release engineer, he's not programming LibreOffice features every day, but he builds the releases, or he sets up the scripts to build releases so that we have a constantly updating, continuous integration, all those other cool things that you need so that LibreOffice can be built easily and quickly. And he makes sure that that happens. So if somebody, a volunteer or a developer, writes a patch, it gets into LibreOffice and it gets built. That's super, super important. Or infrastructure as well. Guilhem here, looking after our infrastructure. Without infrastructure, there would be no LibreOffice project, or it would be scattered across a million Git repositories and scripts all over the internet. Infrastructure is super, super important. So these are the things we concentrate on in the Document Foundation, making sure that development can happen rather than just writing features ourselves, because again, that's not our job. So we have other people here looking after the design community, or in my case, helping with marketing, and not marketing like big adverts saying install LibreOffice, but telling people about our project, telling people about our community, reaching out on social media to new potential contributors. This is the kind of thing we do as well. Now, We do have a new team member who joined recently, and this is interesting, especially because this guy, Hossein, is a developer community architect, and his job is to bring new developers on board. Again, it's not our job to sit and program LibreOffice features every day. We can't do that, we're too small, and it's not really part of our mission either. Our mission is to make development happen. But we took on board Hossein here, who knows LibreOffice, he knows his way around the source code and how to build it, and is a very good communicator. So his job is to reach out to people, potential contributors, somebody who comes along and says, hey, I know some C++ and I've looked around LibreOffice a bit and I want to add this feature, but I'm not really sure where to start. This is where Hossein comes in, helps that person to work on the code, to submit the patch, to do all the things necessary to get that feature or that change into the LibreOffice code base, and then hopefully continue contributing as well. So this is a super important role that we have that Hossein's taking on as well. Reaching out, there are loads of great talented developers out there. Some of them think, oh, I can't get involved in LibreOffice. It's a giant C++ code base. It's way too complicated. Yeah, sure, it is complicated. There's no escaping that. But with people like Hossein and Easy Hacks and similar approaches, we can make things a bit easier for people to get on board, thereby growing the pool of contributors to LibreOffice. And because it's free and open source software, everybody benefits from that. So almost all of our income at the Document Foundation comes from donations. And these are donations from end users when they download LibreOffice. So they go to the LibreOffice.org, download it, they can make a donation. Often, more likely in many cases, when they download an update, because they're already using LibreOffice and hopefully happy with it, then they make a donation. They say, yeah, I've been using this for a while, it's pretty good, I'll donate to support the community as well. So this shows, again, some of the things that we do as the small nonprofit in the middle, running events, maintaining our infrastructure, organizing a conference that I'll talk about more soon, supporting funding the small team, which I'm part of, doing automated testing as well, all of these infrastructure backend things. We test with thousands and thousands of documents in Microsoft Word formats and other formats automatically with every release to check that there are no compatibility regressions. And occasionally we can use some of our funding for tendering out tasks to other developers as well. So if there's something that LibreOffice really, really needs and would make a huge difference to LibreOffice adoption as well, not just some nice feature that some people would like, but something that would really make a difference to LibreOffice exception adoption around the world, then we can tender out these tasks to individual developers or companies in the ecosystem to implement things as well. Because again, we're not developers, or we are not a software development house at TDF. We're looking after the project, but sometimes the community and the engineering steering committee, which is a bunch of developers also in the core of the project who are looking at all these things, come up with ideas and say, you know, LibreOffice really, really needs this. And we can wait and hope for some volunteers to implement it, but it would really help to move the whole project and community along. If we get something, let's put it out to a tender. And then the board of directors decide, and decisions are made for this because it's using the funds that we get, and then we tender it out. So here's an example of a feature, a bit of a complicated feature, but something that's not all, you know, a dark theme that some end users would really, really like, but something that's really, really important to development of LibreOffice, a tool so you can look under the hood of what's going on in documents and make macros easier to develop and extensions easier to develop. So a hard technical job that is great if somebody can do it. So we tender it out, and I'll show you the results a bit later. So volunteers in our community, we have at any time hundreds and hundreds of active volunteers in the LibreOffice community. It's always difficult to give an exact number because people come and go, people are active at different times of the year as well. We get a lot of drive-by contributions, by which I mean somebody comes along and like throws a patch at us or an update, says, cheers, guys, carry on, good work, and then goes off and we don't see them again. Fine, brilliant, yeah. But volunteers do the bulk of the work in translations, the user interface, the help in the websites as well. LibreOffice is available in over 110 languages, I think, or in various stages of translations, which is fantastic, making the software accessible to so many people. A couple of years ago, we had a team translating LibreOffice into Guarani, I think, a native language used in parts of, I think, Paraguay, in parts of South America. And that made LibreOffice powerful office tools accessible to people in those communities and those areas as well. So this is super, super important, even if it looks like, oh, it's just a small language. It's not as widely used as English or Spanish, say. That doesn't matter. It's super important to get as many people and potential contributors to be able to use the software as well. Volunteers organize local events. We see this in Japan. The Japanese community is brilliant there, doing many events, things that we at TDF can't do because none of us are native Japanese speakers and are far away. So local events organized by local communities to spread the word about LibreOffice, encourage people to get involved. Those are absolutely fantastic. It's invaluable. I don't mean to use that word as a cliche. It is genuinely invaluable because TDF, we just can't do those things on our own. So what the volunteers do there across the world is absolutely brilliant. Then volunteers help out in design, marketing, QA, checking bug reports, bisecting bug reports as well, writing documentation. We have some amazing people working hard to update the documentation, the handbooks as well, to make sure it's all up to date. It's just beautiful to see hundreds of people around the world, super, super active, making the project thrive so that we have new releases every 6 months, loads and loads of updates, new features every 6 months as well. It's brilliant. But we need to make sure that we credit developers as well. And this is an interesting situation. So here, this pie chart shows for LibreOffice 7.2, which was released a few days ago, which we'll talk about in a moment. This shows where the code commits, so the source code changes, are actually coming from. And if you look on the outside ring here for code commits, then there's a red chunk here of volunteers doing fantastic work. But there are lots of various companies as well contributing many, many features to LibreOffice. So you can see some of those companies and organizations listed down there. So the majority of code commits are coming from companies who are paying people to work on LibreOffice as part of the wider ecosystem. Now, that's not super surprising, yeah, for many people. If we think about the whole GNU Linux ecosystem, yeah, there are volunteers working on many things. But think of the people at Red Hat, Canonical, IBM, Google, Intel, etc., being paid to work on implementing features that make their way into Linux, GNU Linux, the whole software package. So it's not unusual that the people are paid to work on free and open source software. And you know, you could say that's a good thing as well. But how do we balance this out? We are a community open source project driven by volunteers, great. But it's important that contributors all across the community as well, even those working for companies who are implementing, working hard on the source code to implement new features, get the credit as well. So how do we balance this out? And what are the effects? Well, we know that many businesses, including some very, very large businesses, use LibreOffice directly from the Document Foundation, which is their right, which is okay. We make LibreOffice available free and open source software under the Mozilla public license so that everybody can use it. That's the goal, yeah, with no restrictions or restrictions according to the license, but you know what I mean. So that's fine. But businesses just downloading LibreOffice from the LibreOffice.org website, they don't get any technical support. We can't provide technical support for LibreOffice. You saw we are now 12 people with 200 million users. We simply don't have the resources to provide technical support to every user. And it's not our goal anyway. as I keep mentioning, we are just there at the core of the project. It's not our goal to provide technical support, but a lot of businesses think that we do, or a lot of businesses download it and then are surprised when we make a new version every 6 months. They think, well, where's your long-term support version? We say, we're not in that field. We are a community open source project. If you want technical support, guaranteed technical support, guaranteed bug fixes, guaranteed LTS releases, long-term support releases, get LibreOffice from the ecosystem. There are companies out there, like I showed before, working on the software, who provide LTS versions, who provide guaranteed technical support, service level agreements, all of these things that we don't do and we're not interested in doing. It's not our job at all. So we encourage companies, yeah, you can download LibreOffice from TDF, but it's really in your interest to get it from an ecosystem member, from a partner company offering an enterprise version of LibreOffice, get all of these benefits. Yeah, you'll have to pay something, but that pays developers to work on LibreOffice, on the source code, and because it's free and open source software, those features that those companies make come back to LibreOffice as well. That benefits everybody. Again, this is not new in the free and open source software world. These are things that we've been talking about for decades. I started using Linux and GNU and everything back in the 1990s, so this is not new. But a lot of people haven't thought about it before and just think, well, LibreOffice, businesses install LibreOffice, that's great. But how do we make development sustainable in the long run? How do we make sure that TDF is fine and we are doing fine? We have plenty of donations. TDF is doing brilliantly. We don't need any more money. It's always nice to have more to do things, but TDF is doing really, really well. But how do we make sure that development doesn't stagnate? How do we make sure that we keep getting these new features with every release? And you'll see in a bit, we have big new features every 6 months as well. But most of these features are being developed by the ecosystem. So we want to make sure that we encourage enterprises to get a version from the ecosystem. So we made the decision in LibreOffice 7.1 earlier in the year to call our version from TDF LibreOffice Community. LibreOffice Community. Now, absolutely nothing has changed about this. This is exactly the same LibreOffice as we always offer. It is the exact same thing. Nothing changed in the code, nothing changed in the features that are included or anything like that. This is purely a name tag to make a few things clear. What are those things? Well, that we are not offering enterprise or pro versions as well. With community, we want to make it clear this is developed by a community of people with community support. So no support from us, but you can go on our mailing list or IRC or Ask LibreOffice as well. This is a community project. So if you're a business and you want to use it, fine, but just be aware of what you're getting as well. We don't offer anything else. When we made this change, some websites and news stories said, oh, the Document Foundation is going commercial. No. We're not. We can't go commercial. We're a small nonprofit and we're not interested in that. That's not our job. And we're not changing anything. This is just about making it clear to people, very, very clear, what we offer as well. If you want something more than community, if you want this long-term support, if you want these service level agreements and guaranteed bug fixes and somebody on the end of the phone, then go to the ecosystem as well. A community version of the software may not be the best thing for you. So you probably want to get it from an ecosystem member who, as I mentioned, work on many, many new features and work on the paid developers, put the bread on the table for these developers to work day in, day out on LibreOffice features, which come back to us and everybody because of the license, and then everybody benefits. So this is about making development sustainable. It's not about benefiting TDF. It doesn't change anything about us. It doesn't change anything about the software that we offer as well. It's just about really, really positioning. What do we do? If you want more, if you want something for a big company, really, really look at the enterprise. You can always download LibreOffice from us. That will always be the case forever. That's fine. Free and open source software. We're 100% behind it. We will never offer anything else. But if we want sustainable free and open source software, like we've seen with so many other projects, at some point, some developers need to put to be able to pay their way, pay their rent as well. So it's all about finding a balance of these things. A great community with volunteers, but companies contributing as well need to survive. And these companies are strong free and open source software supporters as well. They're making their new features available to all LibreOffice users because of the license. But we need to make sure this all fits together. Anyway, enough of that. Now, the pandemic. This is a graph showing November 2019 to November 2020 of LibreOffice downloads, the colors showing the different versions. So LibreOffice, we get about 50 to 100,000 downloads per week. So it's quite a demand on our infrastructure. But you can see at the for the kind of teal, greeny, bluey, marine graph, which shows the LibreOffice 6.4 downloads, you can see at around February 2020, it was released and there's a little bit of a spike. And then the numbers dropped down afterwards, of course, but then the download numbers shot up in the middle of March 2020. And there are always many reasons for this, press coverage, some famous person tweets about LibreOffice. There were always different reasons for why the spike jumps around. But we suspect a big part of this big jump was because people were sent to work from home in March and April 2020. Yeah, the pandemic was kicking in. Everyone was still scrabbling to work out what's going on. But by about March, middle of March, April, it was clear that this is going to take a while to sort out. And a lot of people were sent to work from home. And in a lot of cases, super quickly, and by small companies who just said, right, Bill, Sue, whatever, you are now working from home. You need to do X, Y, Z, and send these emails and do that. People went home, right? I've got my computer. I need something to do office work on. Maybe in some cases, a company paid for Microsoft Office or whatever if they were using it, but maybe some companies were using LibreOffice, or in many cases, people were just, I need an office suite quickly for my homework, to do my work from home as well. So we think this is why there was a big spike in of LibreOffice downloads in March 2020. People sent to work from home as well. You could argue around November 2020 as well, but the same thing happened because the summer, depending on where you were in the world, but the summer, like in Germany, was a bit more relaxed last year. People could go out again. Some people went back to work in the office. Of course, there were no vaccines then or other treatments. So as we headed towards autumn, things started to get a bit messy again. So this is another possibility. November, the numbers were going up. Everyone started to get cautious. People started to go back to work from home. People need tools to work from their computers at home. So could explain why we got a big spike in LibreOffice downloads then, and donations as well. So it's very interesting to observe that. Anyway, let's have a quick look at LibreOffice 7.2, our newest major release. So as mentioned, every 6 months we issue a new major release full of features, new features, compatibility improvements as well, bug fixes, security fixes. So we're very regular with that. 6 months, new major release. And on Wednesday, so 3 days ago, on the 19th of August, for people watching this in the future, on the 19th of August, 2021, we launched LibreOffice 7.2 with many, many new features. I'm not going to go through them all as well. You can find them on the release notes. If you go to YouTube and type in LibreOffice 7.2 new features, you can see a video made by our Indonesian community, which is awesome, showing the new features. It's on PeerTube as well. I'll find a link for that. I can put it in chat at the end. So a video showing the new features on PeerTube. But there are some interesting new features from a more technical perspective for those of us who like to look around a bit under the hood, like a UNO object inspector. So UNO, Universal Network Objects, is the object model of LibreOffice, and I think OpenOffice and StarOffice before as well. So this is a new tool to look underneath, look under the hood of what's going on. And this helps people to develop macros and extensions as well. And this is the thing that was tendered out, like, as I showed earlier in the presentation as well. So rather technical feature, not necessarily some nice pretty thing that some end users want, but something that will really make a difference to developing extensions and macros for LibreOffice and benefiting the whole software. So using this, you can poke around and look at what things are doing under the hood as well. So a great new feature. Here's an interesting feature as well. Okay, you might think, well, gutter margins in page styles. So gutter margin, being able to move things around on a page. That's super exciting. But if you look at this screenshot, that's actually a web browser. And that's LibreOffice running inside a web browser. So we have something called LibreOffice Online, which is LibreOffice in the cloud. You can install on your infrastructure. And a huge chunk of the work being done on this is from Collabora, a company in the LibreOffice ecosystem as well. So you can see here, this is Collabora Online. So they take LibreOffice Online and package it up. But this is LibreOffice running in a web browser. And yet, this also works on the desktop, this new feature, this gutter margins and page styles feature. So it shows the how the features match between the online version, the cloud version, and the desktop version as well. There's not every feature of the desktop version in the online version, but they're getting much, much closer. And they all use the same rendering engine. So you open a LibreOffice document, an open document format, document in LibreOffice in your normal desktop application. Cool. And then you open it in LibreOffice Online or here Collabora Online. You open it in the web version and it will, should look absolutely identical as well. So that helps with interoperability. Another thing that may be interesting to some of the geeks amongst us, I certainly like this feature. In LibreOffice, you can suck in data from HTML tables on websites, like here, Wikipedia, for instance. And in previous releases, when you were working with these tables and these external data sources, the tool to import the data would just show you a list of tables and the rows inside them as well. So like you can see on the left here, not very interesting. But this new feature is smarter. This extracts more data from an external HTML table on another site and gets the captions for the table as well. So you can say, ah, right, this table does this, that. Makes it easier to work with these external data sources. And for calc users as well, the auto filter feature now has filtering by color as well. This is a feature that's been requested for ages. So it's great to see that included as well. But these are just some of the new features in LibreOffice 7.2. There's been a huge range of them as well. Again, thanks to volunteers, but thanks to the ecosystem companies who worked really, really hard on this as well, keeping developers going and making sure we get new releases every 6 months. And on top of that, many compatibility improvements as well, DocX, XLSX for those who have to use Microsoft Office documents, performance improvements as well, many, many bug fixes, just going from strength to strength. Oh, and some shiny new templates for LibreOffice Impress. These come from our awesome, hardworking Indonesian LibreOffice community. They've added many, many really pro-looking templates to this release, so big thanks to them. So that's all about LibreOffice and the Document Foundation. But like I said at the start, having users is nice, but having contributors is just as nice, and even better. So what can people do for LibreOffice? A couple of years ago, we launched a website literally called What Can You Do for LibreOffice? Or What Can I Do for LibreOffice.org. Based on something I think the Mozilla and Fedora teams were using as well, but this site framework where you go along and immediately the website asks you, what are you interested in? Instead of a big wall of text saying, well, LibreOffice is a project, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people don't want to read that. They have an idea already. Okay, what am I interested in? User experience? Great, tell me more, or no, not interested. So this site lets you quickly go through things that may be of interest to you, where you may be able to help, way beyond programming. As I mentioned, documentation, QA, marketing, design, there are many, many ways to help out in LibreOffice, even if you are not a programmer. So this site, developed by our Albanian community, but available in many languages, is a great way to get new people on board. Here's a list of many ways to contribute. I'm not going to read them all out, but you can, if you're super interested in this, you can get the PDF of the slides after the talk. But there are so many ways that only one of those, I think, is to do with programming. But there are so many things you can do in a large free and open source software project like LibreOffice. And there are many benefits to contributing as well. In the free and open source software world, we always think, oh, it's good to contribute to FOSS because that benefits FOSS. Yeah, true, that's great. But you know, often people would like their own personal benefit as well. So by contributing to a big project like LibreOffice, or Firefox, or Linux distribution, GNU, GCC, whatever, GIMP, Inkscape, Scribus, there are a million great projects to name, but you gain a super, super useful experience as well. You can put that on your CV, or a covering letter if you're applying for a job. If you are interested in technical writing, for instance, and you want to get a job in that field, but you don't have much experience, join the LibreOffice documentation team, do some work, we'll bring you on board, make some changes, write some things. Then when you apply for a job, you can say, look, I wrote this help, which is now included in LibreOffice, this help text or this help page or these screenshots, which is used by tens of millions of people around the world in the latest release. So I have some experience. It's a really, really good way to build up experience in many, many fields. We saw this again during the pandemic as well. Some people, sadly, lost jobs or were put on part-time work as well. And we had some people coming to us saying, I'm a LibreOffice user. I'm in a bit of a gap between jobs at the moment, but I'd like to continue my skills. What can I do? So we helped them out. We had people helping to translate blog posts and things so they could continue using their skills, continue working on things, put this on their CV to show what they were doing during the Corona downtime. That looks great as well. And it benefits us all. So many, many skills people can build up. How can people find us? Well, we are pretty much everywhere on the internet. We have mailing lists. We have IRC, now on Libra.chat, Telegram, Mastodon, fostered on the usual social media channels like Twitter and Facebook, which are obviously not the most free software-y things, but it's always important to reach people, so they have to make some compromises, I think, via our website. We have so many native language projects as well. So for the German native speakers here, de.libreoffice.org, that's the German website, but we have LibreOffice communities in so many languages around the world. Many communities inside the project or sub-projects like QA, documentation, design, marketing have calls every month where people get together like this, Jitsi or Big Blue Button another way, and then talk about ideas and share things as well. We go to events. At the moment, not so many in real life, unfortunately, although things slowly seem to be getting better. Hopefully, later this year, we can see a few events starting to take place in some countries online now that people are vaccinated or have recovered from coronavirus and have some immunity. I think things are just gradually getting better. So hopefully more in-person events soon, even if there are some restrictions. But online events like this as well. We have our LibreOffice conference coming up, which I'll show in a moment, but excuse me, a few photos from previous conferences. This was the LibreOffice conference 2016 in Brno, the Czech Republic as well. Fantastic event. Oh, excuse me. I went 40 minutes without coughing. Not bad. Here's the a German community meetup from, I think, last year. I think this was March last year, just before the pandemic really took off and the lockdown. So native German speakers from around Germany and Austria and Switzerland come together and work on things that are important to the German LibreOffice community as well. This is the Albanian, two people from the Albanian LibreOffice community as well, organizing an event to translate LibreOffice into Albanian. And we had our conference a few years ago in Tirana, the capital of Albania. That was a fantastic conference organized by a young, dynamic, super passionate team of free and open source software enthusiasts there. Lots of other local events. This is the Brazilian community. This is a localization sprint in Nepal in 2018. So they translated LibreOffice into Nepalese, got together, organized an event. Absolutely fantastic. The things that the communities do, we help them from the Document Foundation wherever we can. But in so many cases, communities just get together, do things on their own, say, we're going to achieve this. We want powerful, modern, up-to-date office software, free open source office software in Nepalese. Let's make it happen. They do the work. Now LibreOffice is available to everyone in Nepal. Yeah, so we love their work. As mentioned, our next conference is coming up, the LibreOffice conference 2021, which is online again for the second year in a row. Kind of has to be, even though, yes, some things are a bit more possible now than, say, 6 months ago, but we had to plan these things far in advance. Yeah, you have to organize a location if you want an in-person event. So it makes it really, really hard to do. So we had to really make these decisions about the conference 3, 4, even 5 months ago in some cases. So we had to then say, it's still unknown the way things are looking. Some things may be possible depending on where we organize it, but maybe it's better once more to have a fully online conference for 2021 and keep our fingers crossed that for next year, things will be more or less back to normal and we can have a normal conference. But join us September the 23rd to the 25th. We'll have lots of talks, lots of updates, online social events as well, ways for people to just meet each other. And it will be great fun as well, and a fascinating way to learn about the future of LibreOffice, the big new features being worked on, the technology updates as well, what people are implementing. And of course, we will have these talks live streamed, and then they will be saved on our website and PeerTube and YouTube for watching later as well. So put it in your calendar, definitely. And that's it for my talk today. So I hope that was a good update on what we're doing as well, an overview of what's happening in the community and the projects as well. You can see what we're trying to do inside the Document Foundation as a small team with our limited resources, tackling some of these complicated issues of balancing volunteer contributions, but making sure that companies that do a lot of work get credited too, making it clear what we offer from the Document Foundation's perspective as well, trying to encourage sustainable development as well, again, where the ecosystem plays a part. So lots of challenges, but lots of amazing things happening. Fantastic work, hundreds of people active. I go on mailing lists, I go on Telegram. I see an enormously passionate community, people working so hard, people who love free and open source software and LibreOffice, that give us these new releases every 6 months, major new features, huge improvements, making it better, giving people around the world the best free and open source software office tools. So thanks to everybody who contributes. Thanks to everybody who listened today, tuned in today, and indeed anybody who's listening in the future when these videos go live. And I think we have a few minutes for any questions or feedback. If anybody wants to write in chat, then I'll be around for a bit.
Yeah, hi Mike, thank you for your talk. Everyone who gets a question can join our audio session or write something in the chat.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, happy to answer any questions or any other feedback you have in general. Although if like your printer isn't working with LibreOffice, I might not be able to help you directly with that. But yeah, please fire away or write anything in chat if you have any feedback. In the meantime, we're already starting to work on the next LibreOffice release as well. So nothing slows down in our project and community. 7.2 is out there. The response so far looks pretty good. We've had lots of press clippings as well, lots of news sites across the internet in many languages reporting on the release. So that's really, really good. But yeah, there's always room for improvement. There are always things to do, things to change. So onwards to LibreOffice 7.3, which should be released in February next year. So as mentioned, the 6 monthly releases. So in the chat, guest Fritz says the compatibility with Microsoft Office is really great with the new release. Got most of my family to switch. Thanks for all for the great work. Thanks, Fritz. Yeah, there's been a lot of work on compatibility in every release, but especially in the last one. It's an interesting topic. A lot of people say we should focus on getting people to use open document format, ODT or ODF. You know, it's used around the world. The UK government standardizes on ODF because it's a vendor-neutral format. Instead of trying to chase Microsoft's formats and these, they have their strict format, which they don't use by default for OOXML, but the transitional format, which is complicated, and it's, you know, it's a lot of chasing moving target. Maybe we should concentrate on ODF or encourage people to use ODF, some people would say. But, you know, the real world, if we want more people to use free and open source software office suites, then we need to have good MS Office compatibility. That's the nature of things. So, yeah. In an ideal world, everybody would be using Open Document, but it's a world where 90%+ of people are sharing Microsoft Office documents. So compatibility is important. So we've improved it as well. We added OOXML export support a few years ago. I think we're well up there now with good MS Office compatibility. So thanks, Fritz. Good to hear. Marlenburg writes, thanks for the talk. I'm looking at the LibreOffice conference website. Is there a way to register for this? Not yet, Marlenburg, but this our infrastructure team, our community, as mentioned in the talk, a small infrastructure group, is working on adding a registration form to the site. So hopefully that will be online in the next few days. Then people can register as well. Bitin says they will try to attend. Awesome, that will be great. Come along, yeah. Join. I'm not sure if the program is online already, but we've got lots of talks submitted about many, many different things. Some very technical. Some of them more about like this advocacy, spreading the word, community. This is where we need a lot of help. Yeah. Again, we're only 12 people in TDF and mostly centered around Europe. So the more people around the world or even on local levels who can spread the word, the better. You know, maybe a lot of you here will be in Germany, maybe Austria, Switzerland. You can go to your local Stadtrat, your local town council, and say, you know, guys, how much money are you actually spending on Microsoft products? What do you need them for? Have you looked into LibreOffice? Do you know about free and open source software? Maybe you can save some money here. And it's obviously about way more than just money. You know, free as in speech, not free as in beer. But it's a good way to start with people and say, well, yeah, why are you tied in? You're a small city council. Why are you tied into a company in the USA? Why not get some freedom back and control your own software and save some money at the same time? So These are important things to do on a local level. When if people contact schools or universities, I go into schools here and in some other work that I do, and I see old versions of Office, and I'm like, well, hell, we can't afford to update to a newer version. Well, install LibreOffice then. It's super actively maintained, new releases every 6 months, constantly improving compatibility, operating system compatibility. It now runs native on Apple Silicon, for instance. So it's always being updated. So there's no excuse to be using an ancient version of Microsoft Office. Some people would say there's no excuse to use Office, but, you know, again, being practical. But these are things that we can do, everybody can do on the local level, to go in and say, you know, there is more out there. You are not tied to Microsoft Office. And if you are a public service, maybe you should ask why taxpayers' money is going to a giant megacorp in America when you could be using free and open source software. And if you need support, paying local companies in Germany to support it as well. Keep the money flowing inside Germany, keep everything, or Austria, Switzerland, or anywhere, and everybody benefits. Yeah, so, yeah, thanks, Fritz, Marlenburg, Bittin. If there are any other questions or feedback, feel free to write. Otherwise, we can wrap up, but still got a few more minutes. Charlie says, well, about my printer. Well, Charlie, have you tried turning it on and off again? Just a thank you for a glimpse on the inner workings of TDF and LibreOffice. Really seems like a great community across the whole world. That's really awesome. Cheers. Oh, and I fixed Charlie's printer by I remotely rebooted it for him or her. So yeah, thanks, Charlie. I'm happy to give an overview here of these inner workings as well, because Office software isn't the hip hop trendiest thing in the world. Yeah. So a lot of people don't really know what's going on inside, or a lot of people think, probably not so much for you all, but a lot of people who are more distance just think that we're just some big company somewhere sitting in an office with 200 programmers working on LibreOffice. And then if something isn't ideal, they complain and say, well, why haven't you fixed this? So we always want to make sure people are aware. We are a free and open source software project. We are backed by a very small nonprofit as well. We appreciate help. Help by volunteers keeps us going. And obviously the ecosystem helps enormously as well. But as a Stiftung, as a nonprofit foundation, then pretty much everything we do is open as well. So if you want to look more at our finances, all of our ledgers are open. When decisions are made about about how money is used as well. All of these things are done in meetings where you can read the minutes and notes as well. So that's important as well. You can go way, way further under the hood than what I've done here, providing this overview. But Charlie and everybody else, happy to provide this glimpse, this overview. And you're absolutely right. It's an awesome community. Yeah. Great, then I think, should we make way for the next talk?
I think we have 7 minutes left, but I don't see any question anymore, so I could stop the stream.
That sounds good, yeah. So thanks again to everybody who tuned in today, or everybody who watches this, the recording of the stream in future as well. Always let us know what you think as well. We always want to hear from you. There are some ways to get in touch there, get in touch with me, or just follow our activities on our blog, blog.documentfoundation.org. So that's where we keep posting what we are doing as a Stiftung, as a foundation as well, and what's happening in the community. So, but we always want to hear from you, even if your printer's not working like Charlie. But we always like to hear from users and potential contributors. So many ways to contribute. So a big thanks to everybody in this community, and thanks to all free and open source software fans for just being there and making FOSS and events like this awesome as well. Thanks, everybody.